Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I hope you're doing well. Today we have a special guest, Kirsten. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing great. Thanks. So before we start with the questions and talking about your journey, can you tell us about yourself and what kind of content you create?
Sure. So my name is KP. I am a social media marketer professionally. So I do like content creation for a living now, which is awesome. I kind of started doing content creation back around 2015. I started getting into cosplay and making my own costumes and decided that along with that, I wanted to have like a solid social media presence and create a brand for myself. So that's kind of where it all started, doing things like very intentionally, very purposefully. And so that's kind of led me to where I am today. Most of my skills are like self-taught and it definitely helped.
Yeah, of course. That's awesome to hear. Can you tell us which platform are you mostly focused on when it comes to social media?
Sure. So most of the time I am posting to Instagram. I'm really active in my Instagram stories, and then I try to post maybe like once or twice a week, just a costume image from my my profile or my portfolio rather, and keeping everything up to date. Captions, I usually try and make current to something that's going on in my life or just like a fun quote that I found.
Awesome. What kind of content do you mostly create on Instagram? Is it like entertaining videos, educational? Like, can you walk us through that?
Sure. So the content that I've been creating recently is resharing old photos. Since the beginning of the pandemic, I hadn't really had the time to create any new costumes or anything like that. So I'm resharing some old photos that maybe haven't been shared before or putting a new twist on them. I've also been leaning into reels as much as I can. So my most recent reel that I did was, I am pagan, so I did a prosperity ritual for myself a couple weeks ago, and I posted just like the last few wisps of smoke that came off the incense. Wow. And it looked really cool. It was like slow motion and paired with music. It just kind of like listed what I had on my table in front of me and what I did. And that did really well. So I try and do video content where I can. And for my job, I definitely am pushing for video content as much as possible. And finding the time to do that at work has been difficult.
I know. Tell me about it. Are you also on TikTok? I'm just curious.
I am. Yeah, I am on TikTok. I have a different handle on TikTok than I do my Instagram. So TikTok, I do kind of like, I try and do some trends if it's relevant to me, or if I think it'll like look cool. But for the most part, I just kind of like, who isn't just doom scrolling on TikTok right now? So I just kind of, I live on TikTok and scroll, post when I can. And,
Do you feel that you get the same kind of audience from Instagram and TikTok, or is it like different kind of audience?
I think it's definitely a different audience. And I even notice a difference between my Facebook and my Instagram. Facebook is very, for me, it's more formal in some ways. I don't know. The audience on Facebook seems to
more established, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They prefer more like, professional content as opposed to me just like posting a selfie, which is totally fine. Different plans work for different platforms, and Instagram, I notice a lot of people like works in progress. So back when I was making costumes, I would constantly be posting photos of what I was working on as I was working on it. So it was like a piece of foam on my desk or like an unpainted piece of armor. And they really enjoy that. So they enjoy seeing the back end of the creative process and seeing how things get put together.
Awesome. And my next question is really interesting. And I love to ask this question to a lot of creators, which is basically, what got you into this mess of creating content? Like, what was that turning point in your life when you decided that's it? Because listen, a lot of people want to create content, but they just think about it. Yeah. Few people actually do it. So what was that turning point where you said, like, you know what, I'm going to start tomorrow or now?
Sure. So back in, oh gosh, it had to be like 2013, 2014. I don't remember now. There was a show that aired on the Sci-Fi Channel called Heroes of Cosplay. And I already really loved Halloween. I loved dressing up. I loved making costumes and wearing around Halloween. And I saw this group of people who were making costumes year round and going to these conventions and meeting very like-minded people, talking about nerddom and fandom and stuff like that. And that was kind of like my, oh my gosh, like people do this all the time. I want to do this all the time.
Yeah.
And along with that came, I saw some of my friends who had very established brands, and they were being invited as guests to conventions. And I'm like, I want to do that. What do I need to do to get there? So I created a brand for myself. I sat down, I made myself a logo. I picked out my brand colors and made sure that I had like a cohesive voice before I even started. And a lot of people don't do that. And that's not to say that doesn't work for them. Everybody has found success doing different things, but that was the way that I wanted to approach it for myself and feel like I was doing it intentionally.
Makes sense, because then you can, you know, build your personal brand and explore opportunities from there. So that's
exactly.
Awesome. Can you tell us a bit about the cosplaying part? Like, for some people who might not be really familiar with it, like, what was the process for you to get into it, and how does it look for you now, and what kind of like content you create around cosplaying? Because I've seen you had a Twitch channel, so we did not talk about that. If you can get into it.
Yeah. So cosplay, going into it, I was always a very creative person as far as like crafting, making things growing up. So I had accumulated a lot of really random skills throughout my life as far as like jewelry making and painting and sewing. So having some sort of prior experience with something creative is helpful. It's not necessary. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to focus on the details in my costume. So for those who aren't familiar with cosplay, basically you are dressing up as a character from a movie, from a comic book. And for me, really kind of leaning into the details and picturing this character in real life, how would this fabric move? How would this piece of jewelry look in the sunlight? Things like that. Trying to translate it to our reality instead of trying to do it verbatim. So that's kind of how I got started. And as I grew, I found that I still hated to sew. I still absolutely hate to sew. It is the bane of my existence. If I can purchase a dress and alter it, that's what I'll do. But I really enjoy making things. So I make armor out of foam. It's like the foam floor mats that you find like in workshops and stuff. It's that foam that you can like make armor out of and then paint it, and it looks really cool. I really, really enjoy constructing things from scratch like that. So,
you make all your cosplays by yourself, right?
Yep.
Wow. I've seen some of them on Instagram. They're really incredible. Great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. So when it comes to creating content and exploring new venues and doing different kind of creative work, sometimes as creators, we face this problem of, you know, why am I doing this? And we kind of lack the motivation of keeping, you know, the stream of creativity going, right? So what is that looking for you, like in terms of keeping yourself positive, creative, and full of, like, let's say, good ideas to create?
Sure. So one thing that I always did was I chose characters that made me happy. Mm-hmm. I really loved their look and I wanted to put my own spin on it. One thing that I never did was jumped on a bandwagon for a character. So a lot of people did Bowsette, which is like a female human version of the Bowser character from the Super Mario games. A lot of people did that, and that was super trendy last year.
Or the Marvel thing, right?
Yes, yeah. Or, I mean, I have like a couple Marvel costumes, but it's like, it's stuff that I really wanted to do. It wasn't necessarily trending. That's kind of what kept me motivated. Like, I had some sort of underlying passion for the character. To this day, my favorite costume that I've ever made is my human Vaporeon, which is a Pokemon. I made the armor, and I made all the jewelry. I made this beautiful sword out of plastic that looks like water. There was so much love and effort put into that costume, and I hope that it really shows. And the kind of content that I wanted to create for that was to show off all the details and all the hard work that I put in. I want to make sure that I have those like vignette shots of like just the scales on the armor, or just the jewelry, or just the curls in the wig. I wanted to make sure to really showcase those fine details that sometimes get lost in the content creation process.
That's really, really great. And my next question will actually relate to this, which is basically, how do you take those photos? Do you hire a photographer, or is it yourself? What kind of like gear are you using? Are you using a camera, a phone? So can you tell us about the tools that you're using to take those photos?
Yeah. So sometimes I use my phone. Sometimes it's just selfies. Like, I'm at a convention, I find a window with a little bit of soft lighting, and then I take a selfie. But for the most
part, that's all you need, right? Just the lighting.
Yes. Yeah. as long as you have some good light and you've got yourself a good foundation and you have a camera, like, that's all you need. But in going to conventions, you meet people, you talk with people, and you meet photographers. And that was the big thing for me, was building relationships with photographers. And I work with a lot of the same people that I have over the years. S1 Price Lightworks is a big one. He's done a lot of my photos. Who else have I worked with? Oh gosh, it's Depth of Light Photography. I was trying to think of her not real name. Depth of Light. She's the one who did my Vaporeon photos. I've worked with her several times. Okay. And I make sure that I'm paying these photographers. I know some people do kind of like a trade for service where they model and then they get the photography for free. I always want to make sure that I pay my photographers because I know a lot of work goes into their side of things as far as the actual shooting, any education that they've had prior, the equipment. Sometimes we work with just natural light and a camera, mm-hmm. and sometimes we have full studio setups. So it really depends on who you're working with, and it depends on the situation that you're in. If you're at a convention, sometimes they don't allow full setups.
I'm curious to ask you, have you ever been on Reddit? Like, have you posted some of your cosplays on Reddit?
I have, yeah. Okay. Every now and then, if I feel the itch, I go onto the cosplay Reddit. I think
it's a wild place, right?
Yes, I love Reddit. Reddit is Same. Like my little happy place on the internet. I've like carved out this little thing that I love. and I think I've posted my Vaporeon on there and my Mad Moxie from the Borderlands series. Those are two of my favorite costumes that I've had like professional photos done for. So I share those, and they do okay. It really depends. It's a lot of the stuff that I do is kind of niche in terms of mm-hmm. the characters that I pick. So there's not a huge audience for them. But the people that do see it, they're like, oh my gosh, like, look at that. That looks so cool. So that's always really satisfying. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Reddit is an amazing place. But having said that, the internet in general is kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, we have the dark side, which brings us to my next question. How do you deal with the negative aspect of the internet and the toxicity that sometimes comes from maybe the comments, or we all that, like, as creators, we have to deal with this, like the dark, that's what I call it, the dark side of the internet. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about your experience with that?
Sure. So I've been extremely fortunate to have carved out a very positive space. My community is a very positive one. I'm very upfront. I don't know how you feel about language, but I'm very upfront about no bullshit with people. Mm-hmm. And it's really helped, for sure. But you do get the occasional thing, I get comments about my body. I get comments about the costume. And I've really grown a thick skin over the years. Depending on how I'm feeling, I will determine whether or not I engage with it. Sometimes I just ignore it because it's not worth my time. It's not worth my time to try and change their mind. It's probably not going to change anyway. They're just there to feel better about themselves, I guess. I don't know, trying to put somebody else down. But I've been really fortunate to not have to deal with it like en masse. Today, actually, somebody commented something on one of my TikTok videos that was kind of dismissive regarding something that I posted about how I was feeling. And I was like, oh, well, you're wrong, but thanks for the comment. So
it's an engagement, right?
yeah, exactly. Like, thanks for the free engagement. I really appreciate it. But I try not to let things get to me too much because most of the time when people are commenting negative things, it's not necessarily about you. It's something that they've internalized and they're projecting. So I try not to take too much to heart.
Okay, that's really interesting because I can't tell you how many people I know personally, creators, who quit because of the toxicity online. It's really a big deal for creators. So my question to you, about what you just said, is this something that you have naturally outside of the internet, like you have thick skin, or is this something that you kind of had to develop and learn some things or empower yourself with some maybe books, some mentors to get you to that stage where you have thick skin? Can you tell us a bit about it?
Sure. So I definitely had to develop a thick skin. I used to work in retail, so
that's the best place for it.
yep, that's where it came from. I had an extremely toxic manager when I was in retail, and she was actually the driving reason for me to leave and really push to get out of retail. So over the years, I tell myself, don't take it personally. Like, you can't please everybody. Not everybody's going to like the art that you put out there. Art is extremely subjective. As long as you're not setting out to intentionally like offend anybody, there's no reason to internalize that negativity that people are putting towards you. So I try and keep that in mind. I also realize that there are real people that are typing these things, and maybe they're having a bad day. Like, I don't need to exacerbate it.
There's something about the internet, like when you're kind of like typing something, you're not saying it face to face. It just like dissolves all the kind of natural human interactions. And it's funny, like 2 days ago, I had a guest and we were talking about this, which is basically the contrast between online and offline. Like, how many times people actually come to you outside in the real world and they say something so rude? It's so rare that happens, right? People tend to be nice outside, like mostly. It takes a lot of energy to be so rude in real, in person. So that's like when you see it that way, I think online becomes like, you know what? Like, yeah, that's maybe a space for people, like you said, to project their troubles and their misery. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. You just take it as it is and move on.
Yeah. I try not to, again, don't take it personally.
Yeah, that's the advice.
Sometimes it's not about you.
Exactly. So can we now move on to the big question? Are you ready? Okay. So the big question for you would be, who has been the biggest mentor in your life? It could be a book or a person.
Sure. I think I have three that like immediately come to mind. So my dad and my aunt, both really fostered my creative spirit, like at a young age. And so did my grandmother, my mom's mom. They saw that I was really into art and expressing myself through this art. And, I have really fond memories of making costumes with my dad. My grandmother actually paid for vocal lessons for me. So I was singing at one point, and, I have very fond memories during the summer, at my aunt's, we would always like make crafts. I remember making little treasure boxes that we would paint and little like movie props, and we would make something out of nothing. It was always really fun. And professionally, my biggest mentor has been my internship manager. Lucy from Old Fashioned Marketing. She really kind of gave me that springboard into a professional career in social media marketing and prepared me for what a work environment might be like that wasn't just me operating and me making my own decisions about my content. I'm making content decisions for a brand that is completely different from my own personal brand. So yeah, I think, those are the people that come to mind. They've all been huge influences on my life.
Awesome. And I think somebody from your family or friends is usually, a big empowerment, especially people who know you and you trust. I want to move on to the next question about your content creation day. Like, mm-hmm. can you walk us through how do you get to that zone? Like, for example, speak about myself, like I have a time zone of the day, let's say like 10 a.m. to let's say 4 p.m. That's my time zone of creating content that I dedicate mm-hmm. maybe weekly. And it's been really hard for me to kind of find that zone. It's really tricky. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you get high energy, sometimes low energy. Mm-hmm. So for you, how do you go about, I don't want to say scheduling, but just like finding that sweet spot during the day, especially because we have responsibilities, maybe full-time job. It's really hard to find that really what scientists call the green zone of creativity.
Yeah. So finding that green zone is definitely really hard. Before I had my son, it was a lot easier to kind of like go to work. And then at the end of the day, be like, all right, I'm going to go home and I'm going to keep working on this costume. And I could work for like 5 hours, completely uninterrupted, crash at like midnight and then get up and do it all over again. But since I've had my son, it's been a lot harder to find that time where I'm not exhausted and want to create content. So kind of the process that I've gotten into is I have this idea. Now, when will I have time to execute this idea? So usually it's on the weekends while he's napping in the afternoon. I'll try and like squeeze something in. And then for my Twitch streaming, which I just started back in May, I have a schedule set for myself that Tuesdays and Thursday nights, that's where I'm at. I'm playing a game that I want to play. I try not to schedule ahead of time what I'm going to play. Just because I ran into this issue, I was playing my favorite game to start off. I'm like, I'm going to do this. It'll get me in the habit because I really love this game. And I hadn't played it on PC in like 6 years. And it was a very different experience than playing on console. Yeah. And I ended up not enjoying it as much. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to switch gears and I'm going to play whatever I want to play in the moment. Like if that's The Sims, if that's a real-time strategy game, like that's just what I'm going to have to do because I want this to be an enjoyable experience. When it stops being enjoyable for me, I don't want to do it. So yeah, it's like less of a schedule and more of a, when can I fit it in?
Yeah, exactly. It's really hard for creators to get to that really kind of, let's say, sweet spot and perfect schedule, but we do our best to keep creating content. Like, the big thing about content creation is that you have to be consistent in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like, is there something else that you do before starting? Like, for me, is the gym. So if I feel like shit, so I just go to the gym, and for me, it does the trick. Not all the time, but most of the time, if I go to the gym, I work my ass off. Like, I come back and I'm like a new person. Like, even those mm-hmm. like worries or those doubts that I had in my mind, like I'm like, why did I even think about that? So that's my fix. I know other people that do it with meditation, yoga. Some people do it with weed. I don't know. Could be anything. Could be just walking outside. So what's that thing that brings you back to that zone?
Yeah. So kind of like grounding myself, definitely going outside really helps. Going to the mm-hmm. gym absolutely helps. I feel like $1 million after I go to the gym. The time that I do find to actually go. Yeah. And I don't know, like listening to my favorite song or watching a favorite movie. I know when I was interviewing for jobs last year, I had like a playlist on my Spotify that I would listen to kind of like get amped up and get ready to really knock the interview out of the park. And then while I'm working on costumes or while I'm creating, I have like a podcast on in the background, or I have music or a show that I've watched 5 times that I don't have to pay attention to, but it's something on in the background to kind of, sounds counterintuitive, but something to keep me focused.
Yeah. It's like the finding those things that really just kick it for you, right? Like it could be anything, like, mm-hmm. the weirder, the better. That's always what I feel like.
Yeah.
So you said you have a media agency, right? Like you're helping creators with creating content. Is that right?
I'm actually an internal marketer for a local business. So I handle all of their social media marketing. I'm actually rebuilding their website right now. And hopefully we'll be expanding to take on clients and do their marketing. That's the hope. Once we start growing more and more, we're going to add some sales staff. So it's not my business per se, but mm-hmm. I handle all the internal social media. So I come up with the ideas, I decide what content to share and run it by my bosses before we put it on the calendar. So that's
Can you walk us through that? Like in terms of finding the right social media posts and which platforms you focus on for that business?
Yeah. So our niche is architectural visualization. Mm-hmm. So we do 3D renders of buildings or of products, or we'll do animations of a product or a building. So I am choosing from a library of content that's already been created. So it's a little different. my creation side of things, I've been leaning into video creation mm-hmm. for them. So that involves kind of, it's mostly like behind the scenes work. So how do we create textures that then go on a 3D object in this rendering? How do we come up with that? So we take a picture of a surface, and then we, our team that I know nothing about how they do what they do, does their magic.
Yeah.
And then 3D imagery,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. So for that content creation, I'm doing like filming and editing. Right now we have a bunch of new videography equipment that we're breaking in. And I've been working with Premiere for the first time, which has been very intimidating, but also very rewarding. So creating like behind the scenes videos, things like that. I just recently started pulling like for an entire month, one cohesive theme for the social media. As of right now, we don't have the resources to have different strategies for each platform. So the only thing that changes are the captions. We post the same pictures and the same mm-hmm. animations, but the captions will change. So we have a more formal industry geared voice for Instagram, which is the opposite of my personal brand. That's more mm-hmm. relaxed, more laid back. Facebook is kind of informal. And then we also focus on Pinterest and ArtStation and Behance, all of the artistic kind of websites. A lot of our marketing is done by word of mouth and like sharing our images within the industry and the community. So that's kind of how I structure out our monthly plan.
Do you tend to like bulk schedule your content like in a social media management tool like Hootsuite and the others?
Yeah, so we actually use Sprout Social. I think we're in our second or third month of using Sprout, and we do bulk schedule. So I try to get the entire month's content done and approved by like the third week of the month before, and then I schedule it that last week. So it's done, and then I can focus on the next month. One thing that I'm working in now, in addition to all of the social content, is blog content. So mm-hmm. I'm starting to do research and pull articles to create content to position the business as a thought leader. So that's that's been daunting, but
you might want to watch our like maybe two guests before. We had a guest who was like a Substack kind of leader, and he grew his like subscriber account for blogging like to 25,000 emails.
Nice.
It was really interesting to see his perspective about how to blog in the right way.
Nice. Yeah, I'll really have to check that out.
Yeah, cool. We're almost done with the podcast, but I have one question for you. Can you tell me what would you do differently if you started today? So basically, think of this as an advice for somebody who maybe want to start in cosplaying, doing it on Instagram, might want to go to Twitch. Somebody who is really, who can really relate to you. And now you're talking directly to them. And they're really afraid of starting. They have doubts. They have their own demons, which we all had before we started. Now is your chance to inspire them.
Sure. It's funny you ask, because I actually just the other day had a post that I made that was very similar. It was something like, what would you tell your past self? And mine would be, you know, just do it. Don't try and push the fear aside and just do it. There was a couple of costumes that I like had put off for the longest time because I'm like, I can't do it. I don't have the skills to do this. Like if I would have just done it, I feel like I could have been so much further ahead, or I could have done so much more. I could have learned so much more. And it's that fear of starting that kept me back. So if you're a preparer like I am, like if you want to do a ton of research before you get into something, like definitely do that. Do your research, figure out what you need. If you are unsure of something, like just try it. Try it on a small scale. I was terrified for years of working with thermoplastic, which is something that's commonly used for armor. And you heat it up and you can mold it and shape it and all kinds of stuff. I was terrified to work with it because it's such an expensive material. And I'm like, oh my God, what if I mess up? Like, that's really expensive. I don't want to waste all this money. And then I used it for the first time, and it was easy for me to use after having worked on foam armor for years and years. And it looked beautiful. I was like, why didn't I do this sooner? Like this, I'm so mad at myself. Why didn't I do that? So just go for it. If you have the means, if you are able to just mess around for a little bit on a small scale, see how you feel about it, and then expand from there.
Beautifully said. I love it. Thank you so much. So can you tell us before we go, what are your next projects and where can people find you on social?
Sure. So I'm actually working on a WandaVision Scarlet Witch costume.
Awesome. I'm a big fan of Marvel and Wanda.
Wanda is my favorite. I watched WandaVision while I was home on maternity leave last year, and it hit me so like succinctly. And I'm like, that's my goal. I want to do that. I have to do that. So I have the costume. I just need to paint the tiara, and then I need to schedule a photo shoot. That's it. That's all I have to do.
Let's do it. I love it.
Yes. Just do it. Just do it. And then I have this actually like cute little 3D print that my friend did of Evie. Nice. She's got like a little paisley pattern. So I want to paint that. And as far as where you can find me, I'm on Instagram at Skyward_song. And then I'm Skyward Song Cosplay on Facebook. On TikTok, I'm at Vintage Songbird, and same for Reddit. And then for Twitch, I am twitch.tv/skywardsong.
Awesome. And we're going to put all your...
Song of the Sky, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. We're going to put all the details in the show notes. So Kirsten, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you. And really, it's going to be inspiring for a lot of people who can relate to you and your story.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I loved
it. Absolutely. Thank you guys for watching, and see you in the next one.